God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Pastor Larry, and you're tuned to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast. Thank you so much for being with us. There is indeed evil all around us. Human trafficking is one of the symptoms of a sick and godless society. But I have an encouraging report, quote, 31 missing children located and rescued after a month-long operation in Texas. Cases include rescuing a 15-year-old girl from a John's house in Fort Worth and recovering a 15-year-old girl from an Uber in Houston during a prostitution sting. Arlington Police Chief Al Jones said these kids and teens represent some of our most vulnerable populations where adults try to prey on their innocence. We will not rest until every child is located safe and someone is held accountable. Close quotes. Now, you know, we talk about the COVID-19 pandemic, but there's another pandemic. Over 346,000 missing children reports were recorded by the National Crime Information Center in 2020. Kids today are in great peril. They are physically vulnerable, and they are spiritually vulnerable. Parents have an awesome responsibility. Added to that is a new threat. Parents in different parts of the country are in an uproar, and rightly so, over the advice some kids are getting from their teachers. Kids suffering from gender dysphoria are being encouraged to, quote, find their true self. They are being encouraged to receive counseling without their parents' permission. Parents, do you know what your kids are being told in school? American Requiem, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. That's the title of a new book by S. Douglas Woodward. Doug has been on our show many times before, and he's quite fondly known as Doomsday Doug. And after reading this book, I say we've got Doomsday Doug with us. But we are going to be looking at his book, American Requiem. It's a really well-written book, about 175 pages, a lot of detailed analysis, looking at Scripture, and we'll get into that at our second program. But also some of the trends, some of the things that are happening in the United States at the present time. And of course, all of our listeners know that 2020 has been a very perilous year. The economy, the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and then the big flap over the November 3rd, 2020 election. All of that has got a lot of people upset, a lot of things happening, a great amount of uncertainty in the heart of everyone. So I think this is going to be very relevant and very useful to you. Douglas, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, it's been too long since I've been here. So I've been kind of recuperating from surgery, but I'm glad, very glad to be back with you. Always enjoy our chats.
Well, I'm looking forward to speaking with you on this topic, American Requiem. Requiem, I guess, is a requiem mass for a dead person.
It would be like a hymn composed for a funeral, you might say.
Right.
For the death of someone.
So we're talking about America's funeral, and then the subtitle, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. And, you know, I guess we would all have to agree that every nation will fall in the last days, but we're focusing on why the USA falls in the last days. So as we start, Douglas, what are the authorities saying? What are some of the things that are happening in maybe culture, other nations, the world situation? How does it all lead to your conclusion about the USA falling in the last days?
Right. Well, you're certainly correct in saying that this last year has been tumultuous, perhaps is a good word, not only because of the pandemic, but also because of the election. Most conservatives, of course, were disappointed that Donald Trump didn't win the election. And now, of course, he may have won it and wasn't awarded the win, but that's another subject. But it's one that sort of demoralized a lot of conservatives, no doubt. But the question is, are there reasons to believe that the United States could collapse during this decade, during the next 10 years? And the answer, I believe, is yes. There are some strong reasons and some, you know, some things that we have to sidestep if we're going to stay alive as a nation. But I believe that we are under the judgment of God. right now for a variety of reasons. I could go into that, but it's essentially those issues that we conservatives know about. We're pro-life. The world isn't. and many other things along those lines. Child trafficking, which seems to have been promoted by a number of governments and so forth, including our own. So there's lots of reasons to be skeptical about whether or not we are still the apple of God's eye. So let's talk, though, to your point, let's talk about several books and individuals that have been prominent. For the most part, they would be considered secular authorities, and yet they're highly regarded, and their books and their ideas, at least amongst those folks, like I was an academic here for about 5 years teaching entrepreneurship at one of the big universities here in Oklahoma. So I'm sort of an academic, sort of an intellectual. I try to keep it straight, but you know, I can kind of drift away sometimes into my own thoughts. But these academics have been important in reinforcing the idea that we are in trouble. And the first is a fella named Jared Diamond. When I was teaching, I used his book, a different book called Guns, Germs, and Steel, providing sort of a history of how civilization grew. This is sort of whether, you know, it really doesn't involve evolution. This is, 3,000 years ago or whenever, 5,000 years ago. And what caused civilization to grow? You know, why were weapons involved and what difference did it make and so forth? But Diamond has also written a book called Collapse. And in the book Collapse, he talks about a number of reasons why any civilization can collapse. And so he lists sort of five reasons. One is that the civilization destroyed its environment. We could think about Easter Island, all the people chopping down all the wood so they had no more trees. The same could be said for Iceland. Deforestation had a huge impact upon their environment, their ability to survive. Climate change. Climate change happens. In fact, one of the big arguments against humankind being the main factor in climate change is that there really are wild swings of climate differentiation based upon, frankly, it's real simple, the activity of the sun. The sun gets colder, we get colder. Sun gets hotter, we get hotter. And that, you know, has been proven to be true for, you know, really forever. And it's a scientific fact.
So it's not anthropogenic climate change. It's just
It's just the cycle of nature. That's not to say that we can't have some influence. We can have some influence. Right. But the major changes, it's really difficult to argue that Homo sapiens sapien is responsible for the massive climate change.
Right. Sometimes when that's my view. And when I tell people that, they say, well, you mean in polluting the environment? No, of course not. I don't believe in polluting the environment.
Of course not.
I'm an outdoorsman. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to hike. And I like there to be forest. So, but the point is, spending billions of dollars to do something that might change the temperature, 0.4 tenths of a
precisely.
It's ridiculous.
No, it absolutely is. And so, you know, it's the world is very persistent, and life is a survivor, and we will. You know, the planet will survive, notwithstanding the fact that we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again, and he's going to retrofit the earth back into a paradise again. It's going to take some time, most of us believe, during that millennial reign, but that's going to happen. So why else might civilizations collapse? Well, one is that civilizations often rely upon another civilization that they trade with. And so there are, you know, they may be responsible for certain resources. Back in the 1970s, the United States was relying upon a neighbor called Saudi Arabia to supply oil. And when that oil didn't come, it triggered massive inflation. Eventually, inflation got to be over 13% or something like that. And so these kinds of things can happen. The ancient civilizations, and they can happen, obviously, even today. And then a big factor is hostile neighbors. You know, nations, the barbarians conquered Rome. They were hostile to Rome, and that's, of course, only one of many situations. Wars, as Jesus said, wars you have with you always, just like the poor.
So we're thinking of maybe China and Russia?
In our day, we would say probably China and Russia, nations from the north. We'll talk about that in the second program in terms of, you know, how does Babylon collapse? And then multiple political issues and a lot of internal conflicts in their own society. So these are the five things that Jared Diamond traces and goes in his book and just kind of civilization after civilization points out how these five factors influence things. And, of course, poses the question, how do these five factors influence us today? Yeah. You know, what neighbors do we have? Who are the hostile neighbors that could harm us? And could they destroy our civilization? And of course, the answer is potentially yes. They can certainly radically change it. We'll talk about the dollar collapse another time and the role of China in influencing that.
Well, when you talk about collapse, that could mean a lot of things. You're saying that, for example, we no longer exist as a national entity and we're just absorbed in some kind of a new world order where we're third rate, fourth rate, or is that
all the social structures, the government, the culture, all of it is radically changed. Many times it could be because there's a massive change in population, right? That there is, that the population is decimated in some respect.
Now, how's that going to affect Christians or the church, especially missions?
For us, it could be the best thing that happened to the church, because it causes us to sit up and take notice and to begin to pray more and rely upon our Lord. And so as the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that means that we must become more spiritually attuned, more reliant upon the Holy Spirit to live our lives, better at the Word, better community. All of these things cause us, just like the early church, to become stronger. And so, yeah, so it will affect us, and probably, although it will be difficult, it will probably strengthen our Christian community and our Christian lives.
Well, you know, was it Tertullian or one of the fathers said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church?
Indeed.
And you think,
indeed,
yuck, that doesn't sound too good, but that's what Jesus said. Take up your cross, follow me, and we follow him where we go.
Indeed.
When we go to Calvary's Hill, we go to the cross.
Right. Now, that's absolutely true. And, of course, Jesus also promises that those of us that follow him, we will take up our cross. But on the other hand, he promises that we're going to gain a lot of brothers and sisters as well because of the community that we'll build. And so, anyway, that of course, is a major theme. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, his book, The Cost of Discipleship, all these thoughts come to mind. All right, so we've talked about Jared. We can talk about a book that most people probably have heard something about called The Fourth Turning. The Fourth Turning, there's this fellow named Steve Bannon, who is one of Donald Trump's— well, he was a consultant to Donald in the White House, but he was excused at one time. But he's continued to be a personality on radio, TV, talk shows, and so forth, has his own internet show. But The Fourth Turning, book by Howell and Strauss, has been an important book that he sort of grounded his own philosophy of what we need to do from a governmental standpoint. And The Fourth Turning really begins by what I would say is a stinging assessment of ourselves. A couple of quotes, you know, in terms of how we see ourselves now. We perceive no greatness in our leaders. We have a new meanness in ourselves. Not long ago, America was more than the sum of its parts. Now it is less. We perceive our civic challenge as some vast, insoluble Rubik's Cube. So there's this general disdain that we have ourselves in our own culture, especially at the elite level. They, were constantly berated for being racial supremacist or whatever. So you see this all the time. The thesis of the book is that there is a life cycle. There are sort of four stages. And so we go through a sort of a high upbeat stage. Then we go through an awakening stage. Then we go through an unraveling. Finally, we enter into a crisis. These two authors talk about the saeculum, a Latin word, which really means a cycle, a life cycle. And so the concept is every 80 to 100 years, a civilization goes through a life cycle. And what they say is that we are at that crisis point right now. We are challenged by our values. We see all the transgender issues, all of the subjects that cause conservatives to sort of pull their hair out. You don't have a chance to do that, but because you don't have enough hair. But anyway, it's a big factor. And so the Fourth Turning it's a concept that is in our culture now, and it's a view that we are in a crisis time. I talk a bit in the book about the different stages with sort of World War II to the Vietnam War was sort of our upbeat era. And then with the Vietnam War, we got into a time of spiritual upheaval, awakening, you know, the hippie culture and the drug culture and all of that. It was undergirded by some sort of movement to Eastern thought and so forth. So anyway, so there's more there that, you know, that individuals, that readers can go after. And then we haven't even talked about Chris Hedges in his book, America, the Farewell Tour, which goes through in great detail the challenges that we face today, capitalism, in our self-government, in our government, and so forth. So anyway, so there's a lot of authorities that are laying out that their thought that we are in a crisis mode right now.
So yes, I think just looking at your bibliography and looking at all the information you give, you certainly make a good case there. And I do appreciate the fact that, you know, you believe that there is a collapse, and yet it might, I don't know, it might enliven the remnant. God has a remnant. I believe there's a remnant in America. And
indeed.
So if we want to be couch potatoes, that's bad news, okay? We can't be couch potatoes. We're going to be swept away. On the other hand, if we want to see Jesus Christ lifted up, perhaps the persecution, such as is happening in many nations today, is really producing the church, and the church is stronger and stronger. So, Doug, we're going to have you back for another segment. Thank you so much. The title of the book, American Requiem, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get American Requiem.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book titled American Requiem, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. You can have a copy of this hair-raising book for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $50 if you live in Canada. To place your order, simply call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. And you can order this book and any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the great companion book by Ron Rhodes titled New Babylon Rising. You can have a copy of it for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, American Requiem and New Babylon Rising, for a gift of $40. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Holocaust survivor Irving Roth has retold his experiences inside the Auschwitz death camp, where he was held prisoner as a boy in the documentary film Never Again. Roth said, "It is necessary for people to understand how it's possible to transform people, perfectly reasonable people, living in a democracy through propaganda and evil, how easily they can be transformed." Close quotes.
Roth added, "I am seeing signs that we are on the road to Auschwitz." He pointed out that it begins with words. Quote, "Many articles in the mainstream media take facts and transform them into something that is not factual. Today, hundreds of thousands of people think Israel is an apartheid country that has committed genocide. Words then become slogans, and slogans lead to actions." Roth said those words and actions have already started. Quote, "I've observed professors and students at universities screaming and yelling, 'Kill the Jews!' On the streets of Brooklyn, New York, not far from where I live, Orthodox Jews have faced violent attacks. This is the beginning." Close quotes.
We are now seeing a Nazi-like proliferation in America at the hands of the so-called progressives. Anyone who worked for the Trump administration is in danger of being violently attacked. Maxine Waters, Democrat California state rep, is goading her supporters to follow Trump supporters down the street and into restaurants and gas stations and give them no peace. Conservative Christians are being demonized and are being deplatformed on social media sites. Elderly Trump supporters who wear a red MAGA hat are now targets and are being pushed, slugged, and sucker punched.
In Whistleblower magazine for January 2021, David Kapelian writes that there is a new war on terror, quote, focused squarely on the millions of American citizens who enthusiastically supported Donald Trump's re-election, attended his rallies, exercised their constitutional rights, believe the election was rife with fraud, and are critical of the radical policies being implanted rapid fire by the new Biden-Harris administration.
The demonization by today's ascendant Democrats of conservatives resembles the Nazi demonization of Jews. Congressional leaders, listening to the Obama-Biden-era CIA director John Brennan, previewed the new threat assessment order on MSNBC. Team Biden is, quote, now moving in laser-light fashion to deal by force against what they believe to be an unholy alliance of religious extremists, their new name for Christians, who are pro-life and believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It sounds like this threat assessment is now being directed at all of my listeners and millions of others who hold to Orthodox Christian teachings.
While liberals consider conservatives to be Nazis, the real Nazis are the liberals. Their unconscionable harassment and prosecution of conservatives shows their true allegiance.
Denmark is often referred to as a benign socialist nation. It may be the one where socialism works, but here is proof of the direction it will ultimately take from ChristianHeadlines.com, February 3, 2021. A proposed Danish law that would require sermons be translated and submitted to the government has sparked concern among Christians throughout the region. The proposed legislation would require that all sermons not delivered in the country's native language be translated into Danish and submitted to the government, although it is not clear yet if the sermons must be submitted before or after delivery. The bill has the backing of the Prime Minister. Although the legislation is intended to control radical Muslim groups in the country, more than 250,000 Muslims live in Denmark, with an overall population of about 5,800,000, it has drawn pushback from many Christians. Anglican Bishop Robert Innes of the European Diocese wrote a letter to Prime Minister Frederiksen on January 27th expressing concern over the proposal's impact on religious liberty. I believe this overtly restrictive step would constitute a limitation on freedom of expression, which I know is prized in Denmark, he wrote. Innes told the Guardian newspaper he feels that other countries may copy the bill if it's adopted. That would be a very worrying development indeed, he said. The proposal also has practical problems, the bishop said, arguing it is not feasible to translate a weekly sermon delivered extemporaneously. Evangelical Focus, a news website dedicated to Christian news on the continent, said German-speaking churches also are concerned. We do not only hold services on Sundays, but also baptisms, weddings, and funerals throughout the week, says the pastor who serves St. Petri Church in Copenhagen. It's not realistic to expect that we simultaneously translate all these gatherings or that we translate them in advance. Catholic churches, too, oppose the idea. The general secretary and spokeswoman of the Nordic Bishops' Conference said the proposed law would harm religious liberty. All church congregations, free church congregations, Jewish congregations, everything we have here in Denmark, 40 different religious communities, will be placed under general suspicion by this law, according to the Catholic Reporter. Something is happening here which is undermining democracy. End article. While there is room to consider the need to keep a close watch on radical religious groups, it is a first step toward control when one considers the next step would be to act upon a given sermon considered to be politically incorrect. Quite possibly, a pastor concerned with preaching the truth of God's word might be on the wrong side of those examining a sermon. 2 Timothy 4:2 gives the direction, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine.
The Carter Center, set up by former President Jimmy Carter, is being asked to explain events it has held which seem to promote Chinese Communist Party propaganda. Several members of Congress have written to the Atlanta, Georgia Center to point out that one of those events was held, quote, in cooperation with the United Front Work Department of the Chinese Communist Party, described by Chairman Mao as a magic weapon to ensure communism's victory over democracy.
The Free Beacon reported the letter from Representative Jody Heiss, Republican from Georgia, as well as Representative A. Drew Ferguson of Georgia. The United Front is an organization which is deeply hostile to any idea contrary to communism. We are deeply troubled that the United Front continues to be given a platform to spread its propaganda in the United States, the members of Congress told Paige Alexander, the CEO of the center.
The letter also reported that it was for this reason that former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, on December the 4th, 2020, took the historic step of imposing sanctions on individuals associated with United Front Work Department activities.
American security analysts are also concerned about the Confucius Institute's promoting Chinese communist propaganda on college campuses. Since January, Biden's Department of Homeland Security dropped the Trump-proposed rule to increase scrutiny of the Beijing-backed Confucius Institutes. Since January, Biden's Department of Homeland Security dropped the Trump proposal, which would have required universities to disclose their agreements with Confucius Institutes. This led several House Republicans to urge Biden to retain the rule.
3 years ago, there were 103 Confucius Institutes in the United States. In August 2020, an alarmed Trump administration designated the Confucius Institute as, quote, a foreign mission of the Chinese Communist Party supporting Beijing's propaganda and influence operations inside the United States. The number of institutes plummeted from over 100 to 76. This is a good sign, but Biden's backtracking on the issues is a critical national security concern. The United States should be demonstrating resolve and commitment to freedom rather than protecting a mouthpiece of a hostile regime.
We read that the mighty Babylon will be destroyed in the end times. You can read about it in Jeremiah 50. Is that the future that awaits America? To find out more about it, we suggest you get our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. And all of these items are listed on our website at swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Join us here tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Doug Woodward continue this series on Southwest Radio Church.